My Life in Christ, Book 2, Part 2. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. St. John 17:3. May the living water of the Holy Spirit fill my heart, and may rivers of living water flow from my heart to the glory of God and for the salvation of God's people, to the glory of the Holy Trinity. Amen. Lord, I am a miracle of thy goodness, wisdom, and omnipotence, inasmuch as I was brought by thee from non-existence into existence, insomuch as I am preserved until now by thee in this existence, insomuch as by thy mercy, bounties, and love to mankind of thine only begotten Son, I shall inherit eternal life, provided I am faithful unto thee, insomuch as by the mysterious act of thine, offering thyself through thy Son as a sacrifice, I am restored from the terrible fall. I am redeemed from eternal destruction. I glorify thy goodness, thine infinite power, thy wisdom, but complete the miracle of thy goodness, omnipotence, and wisdom upon me, a miserable sinner, and by ways known to thee, save me, thine unworthy servant, and lead me into thine eternal kingdom. Make me worthy of the life that never grows old, of the day that has no evening. My heart ought to cling to God alone. It is good for me to hold me fast by God. Psalm 73:28. But what blindness and perversion! It clings to earthly delights, to food, drink, carnal pleasures, to money, to this dross, to dress, to this corruption, to perishable colors, to patterns, to fashions that charm the eyes, to luxuriously furnished rooms, etc. How strange it is! I, a Christian, a heavenly man, am occupied with everything earthly, and care but little for heavenly things. I am transplanted in Christ into heaven, but meanwhile I cling with all my heart to earth, and apparently would never desire to be in heaven, but would prefer to always remain on earth, although earthly things, notwithstanding their delights, oppress and torment me, although I see that everything earthly is uncertain, corruptible, and soon passes away, although I know and feel that nothing earthly can satisfy my spirit, can appease and rejoice my heart, which is constantly disturbed and grieved by earthly vanity. How long, therefore, shall I, a heavenly man, remain earthly? How long shall I, the child of God, be flesh, notwithstanding that I was born in holy baptism, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God? St. John 1:13. How long will it be before I turn wholly to God? Lord, draw my heart to thee by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, turn my heart away from earthly vanities. Lord, without thee I can do nothing. We love everything brilliant on earth. Gold, silver, precious stones, crystal, bright clothing. Why then do we not love the future glory to which the Lord calls us? Why do we not aspire to shine like the sun? Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, St. Matthew 13:42. It is because we have perverted the nature of our soul by sin and have attached ourselves to earth instead of to heaven, to corruptible things instead of the incorruptible ones, because we love earthly, transitory, transitory, perishable, and seductive splendor. But why is there such a love for everything bright in us? Because our soul was created for heavenly light. It was originary and was originally all light, all radiance. Thus, light is inborn in it. The feeling and desire for light are inborn in it. Direct this aspiration to seeking for heavenly light. When you see a beautiful girl or woman or a handsome youth, immediately lift up your thoughts to the supreme, most holy beauty, the author of everything earthly and heavenly beauty, that is, to God. Glorify Him for having created such beauty out of mere earth. Marvel at the beauty of the God's image in man, which shines forth even in our perverted state. Imagine what our image will be when we shall shine forth in the kingdom of our Father. If we become worthy of it, picture to yourself what must be the beauty of God's saints, of the holy angels, of the Mother of God herself, adorned with the divine glory. Imagine the unspeakable goodness of God's countenance, which we shall behold, and do not be allured by earthly beauty, by flesh and blood. Carnal desire is sweet, but it is sinful, corruptive, and repugnant to God. Do not attach yourself with your heart to any girlish or female beauty, but to the Lord God alone, who has created every beauty for His own sake, and say, "It is good for me to hold me fast by God." Psalm 72:28. To God alone, and not to fleeting carnal beauty. The despondency that we fall into through failure in any work, especially in priestly matters, which we do for others, and this sense of shame proceed from our bodiless enemy, who ever seeks like a roaring lion to devour us, and who forces us into every failure, into every sin. Therefore, in order to be unerring in such matters, we must previously prepare ourselves by intelligent study, combined with abstinence and prayer. We must strive after perfection in everything, and not give place to the devil. If failure occurs, do not let us be overwhelmed with despondency, but acknowledging before our God our sin and infirmity, let us humble ourselves before Him, throwing aside our self-love, and without shame confess our sin, our carelessness, slothfulness, or weakness, and cast our sin into the abyss of God's mercy, asking for His grace and help for the good and successful accomplishment of our work in future. In prayer and every work of your life, avoid suspiciousness, doubt, and diabolical imaginations. Let your spiritual eye be single, in order that the whole body of your prayer and of your works and of your life may be light. During general prayer, let your whole heart be in God, and do not on any account let it cling for a single moment to anything earthly. Have also an ardent love for human souls, love for the sake of God, and be zealous for their salvation. Pray for them as for those who are in a great misery, for it is said, "O we who are subjected to the enticements of the evil one are in misery." When hungry, do not throw yourself upon food, else you will overload your heart and body. Eat slowly, without avidity, with reflection to the glory of God, remembering the God who feeds us, and above all His incorruptible food, His body and blood, that our out of love He has given himself to us in food and drink, remembering also the holy word of the gospel. Everything that disturbs us and as though undermines the heart in its foundation and oppresses it, proceeds from the devil, but he himself is eternal disturbance and oppression. The Lord is the peace and rest of the heart. Come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. St. Matthew 11:28. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. St. John 14:27. How many passions there are, how much disturbance and oppression, how many attachments, how many sharp arrows penetrating the heart, and how much darkness. The greater part of man's life is spent in spiritual darkness. Should thoughts of self-praise, of self-satisfaction occur to you, say, I myself am nothing. All that is good in me is accomplished by the grace of God. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? 1 Corinthians 4:7. Without me, ye can do nothing. St. John 15:5. Should this thought of despising any of your neighbors or of your family occur to you, say, the entire man is the beautiful work of God's hands. Everything in him is very well ordered, for it was very good. Genesis 1:31. What is your obligation as a communicant of the holy mysteries? You must seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and not think of earthly things, for Christ came upon earth in order to raise us up to heaven, from the Acapus to the sweetest Lord Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. St. John 14:2. Our conversation is in heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. St. Matthew. Suffer little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God. St. Luke. Do you see what the final purpose is for which Christ came upon the earth, for which he gives us his divine mysteries, his body and blood? This purpose is to give us the kingdom of heaven. Let us aspire to gain it. Pride is of the demon, malice is of the same demon, envy of the same demon, the abomination of fornication is of the same demon, enforced blasphemy of the same demon, enforced doubt in truth of the same demon, despondency of the same demon. The passions are various, but the same Satan acts in all of them. The passions are various, but they are altogether the barking of the same Satan, only in different tunes. And the man, when subjected to them, is one and the same spirit with Satan. When you are subjected to the malicious and furious violence of the passions, and to the harassment of the devil during the fulfillment of various works for God, accept these sufferings as sufferings for the name of Christ, and rejoice in your sufferings, thanking God, for the devil is preparing for you without knowing it himself the most shining crowns from the Lord. Amen. We must absolutely resist the devil. Do not be vexed with those who show pride or malice, effeminacy, and impatience in their intercourse with you or others, but remembering that you yourself are subject to the same and greater sins and passions, pray for them and be meek with them. If a man be overtaken in a fault, Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens. If anybody has offended you, and it is hard for you, bear this, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you pay sufficient attention to the state of your soul, whether it is in good health, and seeing that it lives, that is its life vigorous, and if its present temporary life is happy, then is the eternal life, the eternal happiness, ensured by anything, for instance, by faith? Is there in your soul a lively faith in God, in Savior, in the Church, by good works, meekness, humility, gentleness, love of truth and honesty, abstinence, chastity, mercy, patience, obedience, industry in others? If the reverse is the case, then all your labor is in vain. The soul perhaps does many things worthy of wonder, but it will be itself lost. For what is a man profitous, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? St. Matthew. A day is the symbol of the transitoriness of earthly life. It begins with the morning, then comes the day itself, followed by the evening, and with the coming of the night, the whole day has passed away. So likewise, life passes away. First, childhood, like the early morning, then adolescence and manhood, like the full day and noon, and then old age, like evening, if God grants it, and afterwards, inevitable death. Wherever a man goes, he always comes back home afterwards. So it is with a Christian, whoever he may be, whether he is a person of distinction or a simple one, rich or poor, learned or ignorant, whatever he may be, whatever situation he may occupy in society, whatever he does, he must remember that he is not at home, but on a voyage, on the way, and that he must return home to his father, mother, to his elder brothers and sisters, and that this home is heaven, his father, God, his mother, the most pure mother of the Lord, his elder brothers and sisters, the angels and saints of God, and he must also remember that all his earthly duties and works are artificial, whilst his real duties are the salvation of his soul, the fulfillment of Christ's commandments, the cleansing of his heart. How can we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our strength, and with all our thought? With all our heart means undividedly, not dividing ourselves between the love of God and love of the world, or in general, of creatures. If, for instance, you pray with an undivided heart, not allowing your attention to be distracted by vain thoughts, by earthly attachments, be holy in God, in his love, with all your soul, that is, do not only love him with part of your soul, but only, not only with your mind, but without your heart, and will sharing in this love with all your strength, not with half your strength or slightly. When you have to fulfill any commandment, fulfill it most zealously, unto sweat and blood, unto laying down your life for it if necessary, but not slothfully, indolently, or unwillingly. How varying is this world! Here is merriment, music, there are prayers, hymns, lamentations for the dead, here are riches, luxury, splendor, there naked poverty, need of everything, even of decent and sufficiently warm clothes, overcrowding, disgusting, dirt and damp, Here is blooming health, superfluity of strength. There maladies, decrepitudes, exhaustion. Here are enlightenment, much knowledgement. There ignorance, darkness. But here worldly education is united with spiritual enlightenment and piety. And in this union, there is a beautiful and pleasant harmony and spiritual beauty, while there worldly education is accompanied with unbelief, immorality, spiritual deformity, want of harmony and dissonance, harrowing the soul. Here is success in all undertakings, there failure. Here everything is easily obtained, money, position in society, honors, distinctions, while there a man strives with all his might and obtains nothing, or only by enormous effort obtains even a little. Who shall solve this apparent contradiction? God alone. We can only conjecture. He who is insolent towards men is insolent towards God, as many of us are. Respect in man the grand, inestimable image of God, and be forbearing towards the faults and errors of fallen man, so that God may be forbearing towards your own. Because the enemy of God and of mankind, being unable to vent his malice upon God, endeavors to vent it upon his image, man, as well as on all his impurities, his darkness, pride, envy, etc. Respect therefore man and save him. Watch yourself also, do not become irritable nor malicious. Do not envy, do not offend, do not let, do not commit adultery, do not steal, and so on. Our soul is simple as thought, and rapid as thought or lightning. In an instant, it can be wounded by sin and become attached to corruptible things. In an instant, it can fall away from the love of God and its neighbor through a single unrighteous thought, through a single passionate desire, through a single malevolent thought. And therefore, we must constantly watch our heart, lest it should incline to words or thoughts of evil, and must ever strive to preserve it at God's simplicity and purity, and in the love of God and its neighbor. The best moments on earth are those during which we meditate upon heavenly things in general, when we recognize or defend the truth that heavenly dweller and denizen. Only then do we truly live. Therefore, the essential interests of the soul require that we should often rise above the earth, upwards to heaven, where is our true life, our true country, which shall have no end. Amen.